Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
When it comes to reporting, war in particular, facts matter, but so does context. Verification, integrity of sources, all of that is absolutely vital. Well, this week, the BBC admitted to a major editorial failure. That was after airing a documentary about Gaza narrated by a 13-year-old whose father was not only a Hamas operative, but was involved in the war. The BBC has since pulled the documentary, apologized, and promised internal reform. But what does it say about global media standards? What about the dangers of narrative journalism in conflict zones? To help us unpack this and the deeper implications, I'm joined by William Bird, his director of Media Monitoring Africa. A very good morning. I hope that you are well.
Good morning. Yes, I'm very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, first of all, how does something like this get through a major public broadcaster's editorial checks? Is this negligence? Is this bias? Is this a breakdown in process?
Well, I think in that particular instance, it appears that they hadn't done sufficient checks on every element of that program. It's quite surprising, actually, because if you look at the BBC's processes, they are particularly rigorous, generally speaking, which is to say that they go through very carefully the script, they go through all of the different elements, they look at the producers, they check and double check the veracity of things that are being presented. They get those checked through legal checks, and then they also have them checked against their own kind of standards and codes. So this, for whatever reason, managed to somehow get through that. So, You know, in the best case scenario, bad things happen to people despite their best efforts. And, you know, I think that's
I guess the question is, is it best efforts? Is this an isolated incident, or has this been a recurrent problem at the BBC?
So that's where it is interesting, because it seems that the BBC is not operating according to its standard editorial policies and codes. We've seen a number of initiatives taken by BBC journalists. I think there was a public letter issued not that long ago, signed by over 400, you know, talking about problems that the BBC staff and producers, etc., were experiencing with the way that the BBC was choosing to cover this particular conflict. So internally, there's an enormous amount of disruption and an enormous amount of disagreement over.
Oh, William, can you hear us? Are you there?
This documentary that they also refused to broadcast another documentary that the BBC had commissioned, again, had gone through almost all of those processes. And when this particular scandal occurred, I think they got cold feet and they decided we're not going to touch this. You know, this is one of the problems when you undermine independence, as the Tory government did for the last 10 years before this. You know, Boris Johnson tried appointing his own people there. At one point, he almost got one of his close allies and friends appointed as the director. When you undermine, and we've seen this with our own public broadcaster, when you undermine its independence, instead of them being bold, taking a line, sticking to it, and then justifying, what they tend to do is they get scared, and that fear tends to make them the most awful kinds of mistakes. And so it's quite likely that fear has inadvertently driven all of those particular kinds of approaches, that instead of saying, well, this is the way it is and this is how we're going to do it, they're busy trying to appease political masters across the board and across different levels in an organization. And when you've got such a massive behemoth of an entity, that can only result in disaster, you know?
Taking this back to or closer to home in South Africa, we have, I mean, I've just, as you were talking, I went on to Daily Maverick, and I'm going to read you the World in Focus, the four headlines on the World in Focus. Zionism Untethered. inside the legal battle for the soul of UCT. It's a very, very obviously anti-Israel article. Number two is peace after genocide. So assuming that a leading, a support of Iran, that's that article. Number three is ceasefire and future fires, unholy trinity of Iran, Israel, and the U.S. And then deadliest place on earth to be a journalist, documenting Israel's devastation of Gaza. Four articles, it's the only four there on the World in Focus on Daily Maverick is anti-Israel. I did a bit of a chat GPT a few weeks ago. I redid it also on News24. The articles are enormously heavily weighted to an anti-Israel narrative. Do you think that independent journalism, even from the independents, is alive and well in South Africa?
I mean, it depends to what extent, right? Because if you are someone that supports that view, you're going to be saying, well, yes, of course, clearly they are taking the line that we think or that I think they should be taking, and this is what good independent journalism needs to be taking, especially in light of the fact that other media are not. And in fact, they would refer to the BBC and say, well, look at this. Unlike the BBC, we are willing to show and do these things. So to that extent, it very much depends on where you find yourself on that particular spectrum and in which side you fall, really, right?
Well, that's not independent. I mean, the fact that I can't write personally for most of South Africa's publications because I hold a view that differs to that particular view which I've just spoken about, doesn't that speak to the fact that we aren't independent, that we aren't seeing balanced media reporting here?
So so I think independence and balance are different, right? So independence says you can get on whatever platform you have available to you and express your view as you see it and as you see things, whether it's about this or something that's often these things are easier when it's a less deeply contentious issue. So if you are saying in relation to a particular football side, this is the best side in the world, this is they're the best, etc. If you look at like rugby sides, we're going to all talk about how wonderful the Springboks are, right? You've got a view that you can come on and say, well, actually, they aren't wonderful. They're the worst, they're violent, and whatever else that you want to say. That's, you have the independence to be able to express that. If you're then saying, are we looking at balanced, fair, and accurate journalism, then it becomes a different story. So when you say that of those four, all four point to that, then the first thing I'd say is, well, the world is then being a little bit narrowly interpreted, because I would be thinking, well, what about the conflicts in the DRC? What about conflicts closer to home and other issues in other parts of the world, that if you are looking for a worldview, that you might be saying, well, this is going to give me a bit of a better idea about what else is happening in the world. But that doesn't stop you from going and looking outside of that at any other media entity that you want to and saying, is this the case or isn't it? You have to then go into each individual story and look and see, are they being unfair in the way that they are writing or reporting on whatever the particular approach is?
That narrow focus is probably also why financially some of these publications are not really sustainable. We do need to leave it there. It's a perplexing one, and certainly one that I'm not settled on. I'm very, very concerned about the state of media and narrative media in particular in South Africa. We see it certainly around the world, but I happen to think that it is quite narrow here as well. That was William Bird. He's the director of Media Monitoring Africa. Let me have your thoughts. 061-895-1019.